Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love. What are you doing this Lent? The St. Paul Center is streaming their newest video Bible study for free starting Ash Wednesday. Based on Scott Hahn's renowned covenantal theology, this is a study no one should miss. Invite your friends, Catholic or not. Don't miss your chance to see this premium study for free. Go to stpaulcenter.com to sign up today.
O Lord, my God, Thou searchest me. My heart and mind are known to Thee. Nothing is hidden from Thy eyes, when I sit down and when I rise.
So the topic over the past couple of weeks has been called The Last Things, and they're these. Don't fill it in yet, okay? Okay, it's these. The reality of death, judgment, heaven, hell, and purgatory. Okay? Death, judgment, heaven, hell, and purgatory. So today we're going to be talking about purgatory. What it is, who goes there, and how we can get these people out of the purgatory, and how we can avoid the reality of purgatory. So it's a very important topic. It's related to going to the cemetery and praying for the dead. You've all probably gone to the cemetery and you pray for someone in your family who's passed away. The reason we pray is that these people, they're possibly in purgatory. Through our prayers and sacrifice, we want to get them from purgatory to heaven. That's why we pray for the souls that have passed away. Okay, let's read and we'll respond. Okay, can you imagine yourself being invited to a birthday party of your best friend? However, shortly before the party, you were playing soccer, football, in which you had fallen down more than once and you were caked with mud. Happens. Play sports. It's happened to me. Now, would you be bold enough to enter the party to celebrate your best friend's birthday? And you'd be having fun with many of your other friends? Probably not. Okay, another example. Wedding mass. Imagine you're called to be the ring bearer in the wedding of your older cousin. You know, Spanish say padrino de anillos. Probably, if you've ever been to a Spanish wedding, okay? Padrino de velas, de anillo, de lazo, okay? Anillo would be those who bring the rings up to the future spouses. You know, you probably remember when your parents got married, right? Maybe you did that. The ring bearer. In the wedding of your older cousin or your parents. However, shortly before the wedding, you were eating a chocolate ice cream and half of it was on your face. Another good part was on your white shirt. Would you go to the wedding like that? To honor your cousin and his future wife? Would you? I doubt it. No? Okay, let's take another one. So I'm giving you three analogies. Oh, pretty easy to remember, I think. Going to meet the Pope. What would happen if you were invited to meet and talk with the Holy Father, the Pope? But he knows before going that your shoes were untied, your pants had holes in them, You had egg yolk on your face. Would you go in to visit the Pope with that appearance? Highly unlikely, huh? I like those analogies, huh? Well written. All of these can be seen as analogies, which means comparisons, to understand the reality of what the church calls purgatory. Before going to a very important place or meeting a very important person or participating in a very important event, we need to be clean, right? Well-groomed, and wear proper clothes or attire. Therefore, entering into heaven, which can be compared to a delightful banquet with God our Father, Jesus as our elderly brother, and the Holy Spirit our best friend, we must be clean, pure, spotless, holy as God Himself is holy. Understand? So just try to understand there's analogies, okay? You go to the wedding or see the Pope, and be going to a party, you're not going to be going in dirty. So heaven is like a banquet where you're going to be with God, so your soul has to be clean. Got that? So your soul has to be clean of the dirt of sin. Is that clear? Okay, the last things. In getting to know our faith, we must get to know what are called the last things. What are these so-called last things? It's a part of the spiritual exercises, right? They are the reality of death, judgment, heaven, and hell. Okay? Death, judgment, heaven, and hell. Our Protestant brothers and sisters accept these four last things, but as Catholics we believe in one more, and that is called purgatory. Purgatory. Purgatory, what is it? Is it going to be, is that a permanent place? Or is it temporary? You know the difference between permanent and temporary? Do you know? What's the difference?
Permanent, like forever and temporary is just for some time.
Yeah. So yeah, permanent is forever and ever and ever. The temporary is just going to be a limited time, and eventually it'll be over. So at the end of the world, there's no more purgatory. Okay, got that? At the end of the world, there's no more purgatory. There's going to be two places, which would be what? Heaven and hell. There's purgatory while we're living, it exists. Okay, so underlined, it's a permanent place of purgation, or we call it purification, that our soul must undergo so as to arrive permanently in heaven. Okay, now let's get a little bit of vocabulary here so we can understand really what purgatory is. It means to It means to purge. Put that in there. It means to burn away. It means to wash. It means to cleanse of all that is impure so as to see God face to face and to be with Him forever. Purge, burn away, wash, and cleanse. What has to be purified in purgatory? Simple, clear, and right to the point, what has to be purged in purgatory is the reality of it's sin. So sin has to be purged. If we die in the state of mortal sin, or sanctifying grace, we'll be saved for all eternity. However, nothing impure can enter the kingdom of heaven. What should that be? We die in the state of mortal sin or sanctifying grace, we'll be saved for all eternity. Sanctifying grace. Can you tell me the three conditions to commit a mortal sin? Do you remember them? I think that's important, right, Paul?
Yes.
Yesterday the guys couldn't tell me. They were even more numerous than you guys. It's important. Do you know? I didn't think so. So I'll write it down on the board. It's grave matter. This is worth memorizing. Grave matter. The second would be full knowledge. What about the third? You don't remember? Full consent to the will. So if you have those three conditions, that constitutes what is called a mortal sin. Okay, let's give an example. Is going to mass, is that important? Is that serious? So grave matter means it's really something very serious. Is that important? Yes, going to Mass is very, very important. Okay, you know that. You know that. Okay, then you decide freely. Your parents say it's Christmas break. We're going to Mass. It's Sunday. And you freely say, I'm not going to go. Okay, you have committed a mortal sin. Okay? Okay, therefore you've lost God's grace. And if you were to die in that state, without repentance, then you would go to hell. Okay? And you go to hell for all eternity. It's really good to know that. Because if you don't know that, you're always living in uncertainty. You know, was that a serious sin or not? You're always living with insecurity, with anxiety, uncertainty. You know, knowing this, I mean, it's very blunt and clear to the point. So, if you have not committed that, you have not done this, you're in the state of grace. And you can go to Mass and can receive communion, and you receive communion, that helps you to grow stronger and stronger. Okay, give me another example. How about stealing? Is stealing a mortal sin? What do you think? Okay, if you were to steal his Mercedes-Benz, or say, for example, after class, your mom were in her car and they said your son is in church praying, and your mother leaves, and I take the car, can I take off with it to Las Vegas? That would be something serious. I know it, and I do it anyway. But if you were to walk out that door and put that pencil in your pocket, you know, you kind of walked out quickly, with the pencil in your pocket, okay? If you were to do that, would that be a mortal sin? Would it? Why not? Because that is not something that's grave, is it? It's like there's a big difference between stealing a car and stealing a pencil. Or if you maybe go to the store and you steal a 10-speed bike. Or you steal a Tootsie Roll. Or a piece of bubble gum. There's a big difference. Now if you get caught by the police, I mean, you could still pay a lot for stealing the Tootsie Roll or the piece of bubble gum. So stealing, it could be grave matter, or it could be that which is small matter, stealing. How about this? You're married. For example, in 15 years, you're married, and you got two kids, and at the office, you cheat on your wife. You have an affair with another woman. Is that serious? What is that called? What's the word? You ever hear the word adultery? Okay, adultery. So you know that. You know they commit, cheating on your wife. That's important. That's serious. Okay, something very serious. You know it, and you do it anyway. So that would be a mortal sin. So if you die in that state, then you would lose your soul for all eternity. So the two worst things in the world would be to commit a mortal sin, but something worse than that would be to die in mortal sin. Because until, as long as you have life, there's always hope that we can always turn to God and ask for forgiveness. That's why we keep insisting the importance of getting the habit of going, making frequent confession, going at least once a month, if not earlier. That's, even if you haven't committed a mortal sin, you can go to confession frequently. It serves as either curative medicine or preventive. Curative means it heals your soul after you commit the sin. Preventive, it can actually help you to prevent from falling into sin. It's like getting a flu shot. Okay. Why do you get flu shots usually in the middle of November? It's because usually the end of November, December, that's when everyone gets sick, as we had this year. You went to Mass and Christmas, everyone was coughing and sneezing and everyone was sick. And most of the priests in my house who were sick, Father Craig would be able to talk, and Father Antolini got sick. And, well, you know, if you get the flu shot, that can help you from getting sick, and you take your vitamins too. Yeah, a lot of vitamin C. So going to confession is kind of like taking a lot of vitamin C and a flu shot so you don't eventually have a fallout. So mortal sin, something that's serious, you know it, and you do it anyway. Those are conditions to commit a mortal sin. If we really don't know, if we don't know that, all the moral theology falls apart, basically. And that's good to memorize, isn't it? Good to memorize, yeah. Okay, so are you ready? Good. Okay, so in purgatory, we are purified of our, yes, I didn't know one could pronounce this. Can you pronounce it? It's called venial sins. Can you say that? Saying venial sin. No, venial sins. Venial sins. That we died with. And also mortal sins that have been forgiven but not yet fully expiated. You know what that means? Is that say you die with light white lies, or you're talking back to your mother, or maybe fighting with your little sister. They're venial sins. Okay, you die with that. Those have to be purified by the fire of God's love. But maybe you committed three mortal sins by not going to Mass on Sunday. You went to confession, you were forgiven, but still God wanted you to do more penance than the priest gave you. So, in a certain sense, it's kind of like if you get a splotch on your white shirt and your mom has probably some type of solution that can get rid of that that spot, okay? And she has to kind of rub it, you know? It doesn't come out right away. So that's the idea. Even though the sin is forgiven, he still has to be wiped away. But this time it's going to be classically purgatory. Purgatory is it's a fire. I think all of us have at least once in our life we've probably gotten burnt. When I was your age, I lived in New Jersey, and next door to us there was a family that had about 9 kids, and I don't know how it happened. Their house caught on fire. Big house, big mansion. And they had kids from about 18 to 2 years old. And the mother was crying out, Mrs. Vaughn. She was crying out that her little daughter was in the house. So I was about 13 or 14. My brother was a year older than me. And we decided that we were going to rush into the house to try to save that little 2-year-old. And never forget, tried to enter in the back door, and the fumes of the flames, not the flame, but the fumes of the flames, it was like a powerful hand that pushed me out and almost knocked me on the floor. It was just the fumes. And my face was burnt, and my hairs were singed. So that was not even the fire, that was just like the smoke of the fire. I never forget that. So purgatory, I mean, you're in the fire. So that would just be the mere surface of the fire. So we want to try to avoid purgatory. Yeah. Right, Paul?
Yeah.
We want to try to avoid purgatory. Now, how long are you going to stay there? An image I give also is, I gave yesterday, is the more, if you die, you die in the dying state of sanctifying grace, but you have a lot of selfishness. The more selfish you are, the more time you have to be in purgatory. Did you ever watch your mother making maybe a salad and she was peeling an onion? Did you ever peel an onion? You ever notice that the outer layer is bigger and then it gets kind of smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller? You arrive at the very center, there's no more onion. This is kind of an image of a purgatory. What has to happen is, this symbolizes your selfishness, your egotism. So the fire of God's love has to come, and it has to burn it away. and burn it away, and once there's no more selfishness on your soul, then you can go to heaven. So selfishness. What's selfishness? You know, your greed, avarice, you're impatient, you're disobedient, you're lustful, you're jealous, you're envious, you're proud, you're lazy. You know, all those, that's selfishness. You allow that selfishness to take possession of your life, and you die in the state of sanctifying grace, the fire of God's love has got to burn it away. Remember that commercial years ago, Midas Muffler, pay now or pay later. I think it's better to pay now than pay later, huh? So the opposite of the selfishness is love. You know, you love God, you love your neighbor, you really try to love God, and you grow in that love for God, and then you die, you die loving God perfectly, you go right to heaven. But your love has to be perfect. I think we should all pray that we go to heaven right away, right? You know, you can make this as your prayer, Lord, send me my purgatory here on earth. Is that a good prayer? You can say, send me my purgatory here, you know, so I don't have to have it after death. I mean, you can pray that. God sends you a lot of trials, a lot of sufferings, a lot of crosses, and you put up with them very patiently. Okay, I'd like to tell one story, and then we'll finish it. I was listening to the radio the other day, and it was a story about these nuns in a convent. And the Mother Superior was able to see when the other nuns died, where they went. She was given that grace. This is on Relevant Radio. I think Father Matthew spoke about this. Good story. So a nun died, and this nun, she wasn't really that good. Kind of like an average nun. Certainly didn't seem to be a saint. And God revealed to her, as soon as she died, she went right to heaven. And the Mother Superior stopped, and she was talking to Jesus, saying, why did that nun go to heaven? She wasn't really that good. Like an average nun, no? Not a real great saint, no? And you know what Jesus said to her? He said, she took advantage of what the church offers. Okay, let me explain. The indulgences. She took advantage of what the church offers. So, listen. If you go to confession, go to Mass, and receive communion with a lot of love, you make a good communion, you really make it well, then you pray the rosary in family. This would be a family rosary when you just finish. Then we pray for the Pope. Maybe we'll do that next time, okay? Pray for the intention of the Pope. And then you try to avoid sin. You receive a plenary indulgence, and if you're to die after that, you go right to heaven. We talked about this about 5 weeks ago. I'm pretty sure we did. Didn't we? I think about 5 weeks a week. But I'll remind you, and if you guys, if you want to go to heaven quickly, you got to remember that. So you make a good confession. Then you got to go to Mass. And when you go to Mass, you receive communion, but it's received, you receive it really well. You know, receive communion with a lot of faith, devotion, and love. Then you have to do the act of indulgence, which could be pray the rosary in front of the Blessed Sacrament, or read the Bible half an hour, or make the way of the cross, or pray the rosary with your mom and dad, and with your brother or sister. And then you say, okay, Lord, I don't want to sin. Help me not to sin. Help me. I'm going to try to avoid any person, place, or thing that leads me into sin. With all of that, if you die with all of that, you can go right to heaven.
Yeah.
I mean, I was listening. I said, "Wow, I'm going to use that one in my teachings because that's very encouraging, right?" Because you know, I don't know about you guys, but this topics we're touching, they're pretty serious, kind of a little bit scary, aren't they? But they're real. We can't deny. When you die, you're going to be judged. I mean, we could go to hell. I'm not going to lie to you. I hope you don't. We can. It's not God's fault. It will be our fault. We could go to purgatory, and we could you could end up a long time in purgatory. Or if you really try to live out what the church offers you and gives you, it's like this. If I tell you, okay, guys, right after this class, there in the sacristy, there's a huge container of a million diamonds, and every diamond is worth $1 million. You can take as many as you want. Right? I think you guys would break down that door. You'd break down the door, and you'd be grabbing those diamonds, and you get a sack. You'd fill it up with all the diamonds you could. I certainly would. It's not going to happen. But in a certain sense, the indulgences are the same thing. The indulgences come from the church. They come from the open heart of Christ that was pierced with the lance, from which all the graces flow. And that's the flow of the love of Christ from the cross in what we call indulgences. So when you die, if you go to purgatory for 500 years, it's not my fault. I told you. It's not my fault. I told you. Right? Is it my fault? No, it's your fault. But this means, so you're only 13 or 14, you got to stay in the church. You got to stay in the church, like a lot of people leave the church today. Stay in the church, and you have to receive the sacraments. You know, it's really related to the sacraments. a good confession, a good communion. And then, well, the Blessed Mother is present there in the rosary. So hopefully you'll never forget that. Hopefully after 2 years, at least they'll remember that, right? I hope, no? If not, see you in purgatory. For how long? Only God knows. Are you ready? Okay, let's go. Is purgatory painful? Is being burnt by fire painful? Not painful, or somewhat painful, or very painful? Hello? Very painful, so underline that. Very painful. We should do all we can to strive to live holy lives so as to get to heaven as soon as possible, as well as to help the souls in purgatory get to heaven as soon as possible. Okay, is purgatory forever? You already said. Is it yes or no? No. Purgatory is a temporary place of purification. At the end of time, after the final judgment of all the living and the dead, purgatory will cease to exist. Okay, what then will exist? Only what? So at the end of the world, what is going to exist? Only two things, two places. You got it. Heaven and hell will exist at the end of the world and after the final judgment. Either we will be saved or we will be damned and forever. Okay, how long are we going to spend in purgatory? Okay, true or false? First question is this. This all depends on one thing. You and how you decide to live your life here and now. You decide now to really and sincerely give yourself to loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, Luke chapter 10, then you could go right to heaven. Is that true or false? True. So put a T there. That's true. If your life is selfish, impure, materialistic, egotistic, and decide to put off your conversion until later, and you're placing your eternal salvation in jeopardy, in real danger. Is that true or false? That's also true. Yes? Do any of you know what egotistic means? Now, I'm sure your mother have used this word in Spanish. Egoismo, egoista? No, know what that is? So egotistic means you're only thinking about yourself. Okay? I like to call it, do you know what the egotistic trinity is? Me, myself, and I. Yes. Egotistic trinity. Me, myself, and I. You're the big banana. You're Mr. Important. You're the center of attention. You're the focal point of history. There are people that are like that, right? They only think about, what's in it for me? What can I get out of this? If I can't get anything out of this for myself, I'm not going to do it. You know, Paul, about a few months ago, I had, last year, I had a very busy Sunday. And I had the 10 o'clock Mass, and I think I preached to about 1,000 people. I thought it went pretty well. And I talked with probably about 100 people before in the formation class. I thought it really went well. Then about 1:30, I had another spiritual exercises class with about 100 people. And I was really on a roll. And someone gave me a little note to visit this sick person. And there was a sick person that lived in Lakewood. And I went there. And it was a kind of a dirty house, a smelly house. An old lady, maybe about 83 years old. Had bad breath, and the house smelled of urine. It was just kind of ugly. She was all alone, all abandoned. And I sat down next to her, and I heard her confession. I gave her the anointing of the sick. I gave her Holy Communion. And I tried to be kind to her, said a couple words of kindness. And then at the end of the day, when I was examining my conscience, I was kind of talking to our Lord and said, well, Lord, it was a pretty good day. Pretty good day. Probably, Lord, you probably really liked my homily I gave at 10 o'clock to those 1,000 people. Yeah, probably, you know, that talk I gave to those people in the spiritual exercise, that really moved them. Well, how about the formation class with those people? I really thought I inspired them by my words of eloquence. Lord, what was the most important thing you did the whole day? When you visited that old lady in that dirty house with the smell of urine. I said, Lord, I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that. So God, the way God sees things is different than the way we see things. I think it's a good story because I think something we only focus on, because I couldn't get anything out of that. It was an act of charity, really, because I couldn't get anything out of it. Whereas the other things is a little bit of, you know, hey, well done. Maybe a little bit of vanity, you know. Maybe a little bit of self-love. Maybe a little bit of self-interest in what we do. Maybe we want people to give us an applause. Well done. Thank you. We're doing things where really we can't get anything out, but we're giving totally because of people like that that are totally dependent upon others because of their age, their condition, their sickness. That's real love. I think when you die, and one day when you're before the judgment seat of God, Jesus is going to say, what you thought was maybe unimportant was maybe the most important thing in the eyes of Jesus Christ. Right? We're going to see that. No? So we should always try to purify our intentions, do everything for the honor and glory of God. And maybe one day you'll visit an old person, a sick person, someone in jail, someone in a nursing home, someone that's abandoned, someone that's that the world rejects, and to be kind to that person. And that person is really Jesus Christ. Right? That's Jesus Christ. So remember that. Okay, then next, if you undergo conversion later on in life, but without having fully expiated your sins, welcome to purgatory, also true. Number 8, what will be purged? Basically, selfishness. And the senses and things we have used to commit sin. Dante entered purgatory with the 7 P's on his forehead. One of the most important literary masterpieces is the Divine Comedy by Dante Alighieri. And when he enters into purgatory, he has these 7 P's which are engraved on his forehead. You know what the 7 P's are? The 7 capital sins. And they would be gluttony and greed and lust and laziness and anger and envy and pride. So he had those 7 capital sins that were on his forehead. So when he went to purgatory, they had to be burnt away. You know what was his biggest capital sin? Was that a lust. That was his biggest one. It had to be burnt away so that he could go from there and he could arise and go to heaven. So all those capital sins that we give into, they have to be purified before we can make it to heaven. Okay, so all of them had to be purified, some more than others. What were all these called, these 7 P's? These would be called the 7 capital sins. The 7 capital sins. And they are, you see, gluttony. Do you know what gluttony is? Any of you hear the word gluttony in Spanish? La gula. Ever heard that word? Gluttony is eating too much. Did you ever eat too much? Over Christmas break, you probably went to town, huh? Thanksgiving? Huh? I mean, you have to eat, right? Here's a question. Do you eat to live or live to eat? That's a good question, right? Do you eat to live or live to eat? Sound like a tongue twister, right? If you live to eat, you're a glutton. But you eat to live, you practice a virtue of moderation. We all know, if we eat too much, we don't feel good, right? How about sloth? You know what that is? Have you ever been lazy? How about vacation? Sleeping in till 11 o'clock? Your mother has to kind of throw cold water to get you out of bed, no? The electric shock, you use an electric shock to catapult you out of bed, it's already 12 noon. That's laziness, right? How about avarice? You know what that is? Greed. You want more and more material things. The more you have, the more you want. They say, shop until you drop. Lust. You're always thinking about girls, no? Always have your mind, kind of like a dirty mind. Lust. Okay? Envy. You know what that is? You ever hear the word envy? Never heard the word envy, you guys? How about jealousy? Jealousy and envy, they're kind of connected. Jealousy and envy is this. You feel bad because someone has something that you don't have. Yeah, I mean, it can be everything. So, you know, you have a sibling that has maybe a better phone or computer you have, and you feel that you're being deprived of justice, and you clamor at your parents saying that's unjust, and pound the wall with your fist, no? I mean, you're playing soccer with your best friend, and your best friend gets 4 goals. You just rip your pants. The only thing you do, no? Okay. And your best friend, hey pal, hey K-Tal, how's it going, pal? Give me the high five, and you went punch him, huh? Or you know, one of your friends, your mom and dad don't have enough money to pay the car payment, and your best friend comes in, there he is with his mom and dad in a Maserati. You know what a Maserati is? It's a sports car that's worth about $500,000. Honks the horn, goes like this, hey pal, how's it going? Jealousy and envy can get the best of us. Or anger. You're really impatient. You want things called a microwave spirituality. Now. Come on, Mom, hurry up. I'm hungry. Come on. What are you waiting for? Just finish confirmation. I'm starving. Come on. Let's go. Come on. We've all given in to that before. So all these, if we give in to that, we give in to these tendencies, we're committing a sin. And guess what? Purgatory is waiting for us. So we're going to try to curb these impulses right now. Otherwise, welcome to purgatory. And pride. You know what that is? You feel you're the big banana. You're the big man on campus. You're the big cheese. I'm important. That's displeasing to God. You think you're Mr. Wonderful. And I think all these capital sins, I think we all have a little of them. But we have to try to identify which is the biggest one and try to practice the opposite virtue. It's called agio de contra. Right, Paul? Okay. Do any of these dominate your life? Do any of these dominate your life? So let's move on to number... Okay, so if yes, now is the time to strive with the help of God's grace to practice the opposite virtue. Now, can anyone avoid going to purgatory? What do you think? Yes. I've written down 3 scenarios where we can avoid purgatory. So, babies that are baptized and die. So, say for example, baby... was baptized at a month, and then the baby, there was a crib death, and your mother goes in, and your little baby brother has died after 6 months. Very painful, but he's in heaven. That's why it's really, really wrong to postpone baptisms. A lot of people postpone baptisms because they want clothes, la fiesta. La fiesta. They put the social part above the sacramental part. What's wrong? Who cares about a party? Get that little baby baptized as soon as possible. Okay, next is also the martyrs. Someone who dies for Christ. Maybe you saw the movie For the Greater Glory, okay? You see that movie? With Jose Luis Sancho del Rio? Okay. If you die shedding your blood for Christ, you'll go right to heaven. Right away. And then, next would be also those who die with perfect love for God. We're aiming at that now. So the opposite of that would be selfishness. Got that? Okay, next. Is there any church liturgical celebration for the souls in purgatory? What day of the year, the specific day of the year, do we pray for the souls in purgatory? Any of you know? Give me a hand. It's the month of November. What day of November is... We call it All Souls Day. What day would that be?
November
2nd. Okay, November 2nd. So write that in. November 2nd is a commemoration of the faithful departed. Nonetheless, we should get into the habit of praying for the dead as soon as possible. Praying for the dead is always pleasing to God. Traditionally, November is the month in which we're dedicated to praying for the souls in purgatory. Well, we should pray for the souls in purgatory every day. In a couple of minutes, I'm going to be saying Mass, and I'll be praying for people, pray for the souls in purgatory. God bless you. Okay. Can we do anything to help the souls in purgatory so they can get to heaven? What do you think? Can we pray for them? What do you think? Can we pray for them? How about fast? Do you know what fasting means? Okay, like giving up something you like to eat, okay? Can you do that? How about sacrifices? Can we do that? How about almsgiving? Do you know what almsgiving is? Yesterday, one of the kids in the class is sitting where you said, I'd like to give money to the poor people on the streets because they might use it to support their drug habit. Yeah. I mean, what he said is could be true. What I do is in my car, I carry granola bars. You ever have a granola bar? You never heard of granola bars, okay? What I do is I have these granola bars, and I see poor people are, when you're pulling off the 605, you're pulling off the freeway, or pulling in, you usually see some poor people there. What I usually do, if I have a red light, I'll kind of, hey, come here. And the guy will come, and I'll give him a couple of granola bars. And almost always, and they see me as a priest, hey, you a priest? Yep. Hey, may God bless you. God bless you too. Hey, friend. So that's one of my ways of practicing almsgiving, giving the granola bars to the homeless people on the street. Money, I don't have a lot of money to give, but at least I can give them a couple of granola bars. Maybe some water to drink, maybe a Gatorade. No whiskey, though. That's not good for them, okay? Right? That might be the reason why they're on this street, because of whiskey, huh? Okay, let's move on. What is the best thing we can do to help the souls in purgatory? Of all the things in the world, by far the greatest thing we can do for the souls detained in purgatory is to offer... I think you know. What's in the other church? Yeah, offer the masses. Offering masses, you know, in La Misa, in Spanish. Offering masses for them. Also, when we go to Mass, we can offer our... What are those two words? These names are the Holy Communions. We can offer Holy Communions for them. There's a special series of Masses called the Gregorian Mass, in which a month of Masses are said consecutively for one person who has died. think it was in 1991, I think before you were born, I was in Argentina, then I was transferred to Chile. And I got a phone call, and my mom said that my grandfather died. So it would be her father passed away. And he was about 91, so pretty old. And I was in a place where I didn't belong to a parish. I was basically a missionary, giving missions and giving retreats and helping out as a confessor in the cathedral. My mom said, offer Gregorian Mass for my dad. So what I did was, so I had a free Mass intention, I offered 30 Masses in a row for my grandfather. So it pays to have a grandson as a priest, right? 30 Masses, not one, but a whole month I prayed every Mass after he died for him because I didn't have a parish. So I was out kind of like in the woods, and I would go out and give retreats, and I'd come back, and I'd have free Mass intentions. And even, you know, Paul, even though I mentioned this, my father passed away 2 years ago and had a lot of Masses offered for him, a lot. I still pray for him. I hope he's in heaven. He was a good man. He wasn't perfect. But until I die, I will keep praying for him. And what will happen if he's in heaven? Is God going to take, well, sorry, he's already in heaven. God's going to take my prayers and just go, no, not going to do that, is he? No. He'll take my prayers and he'll apply it to another person in purgatory. Maybe my great-great-great-grandfather that died in 1776. Maybe he's still there, you know? So any good prayer is never wasted. Any good prayer that you say with love and sincerity, God's going to take your prayer and apply it to someone. So as Catholics, we should pray for the souls in purgatory. When you die, do you want someone to pray for you? Not really. How about you? Paul, do you?
Yeah.
I'd like a couple of Gregorian Masses, right? I think that's really good fire insurance, isn't it? Got it? Good pun, fire insurance, right? Okay. Got that? So we've arrived at number 15. Who else can help us? Yes, but who's the one you just prayed to about 40 minutes ago? Okay, so Our Lady. Okay, write down. Our Lady can help the souls detained in purgatory. Tradition has maintained that on Marian feast days, the souls are helped immensely in purgatory, and many are taken to heaven. So that would be like on the Immaculate Conception, the Assumption. Those are days in which Mary is able to descend in purgatory and bring a lot of souls to heaven. Do any of you remember that movie, the Il Gran Milagro? Greatest Miracle? Any of you see that movie? Do you remember when that older lady was in church praying? She received Holy Communion. Remember what happened? In that the floor was open and there were the souls in purgatory that were trying to swim up all the way to heaven. And what happened was the guardian angel went down and took that one of them that was in purgatory and pulled him out of purgatory and went up and up and up and up to the very top of the church. That's what happens. So next time you go to Mass, you offer your communion for someone, that might happen. You'll be taking a person from purgatory to heaven. He's going to be praying for you until you get to heaven. So how about we say a Hail Mary, and then we can give them a Divine Mercy card. We're going to say the Hail Mary for all the souls in purgatory, especially those who are most abandoned. Okay? Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners now and again. May the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen. So Paul is going to be giving you a Divine Mercy card, and hopefully you'll be able to put this in your wallet and always have it with you. Okay? And if you see someone, maybe someone is dying, you can maybe pray the chaplet of Divine Mercy, give that, and then get another one. Okay? So do they have enough there?
Okay. Yeah. These three fathers, oh. This is the feast day.
Oh, St. Anthony of the Desert, yeah. Great. Grace. Okay, good. Well, see you next week.
Thou hast broke my heart and mind. Upon me thou hast laid thy hand. O Lord, how could I understand?
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota in Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit Toyota on Nicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington. Home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at LexusOfLexington.com.